Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this hour of the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Oh, man, we've got a lot of things to share with you. We're going to be talking about how to get those concrete patios really clean, driveways, sidewalks, and keep them that way. Got some great tricks for you on that. Composite decking, getting questions almost every week on that. We're going to kind of clear up a few misconceptions on that. And also, mineral wool insulation. You hear Joe and I talk a lot about rock wool. Well, what is it and why is it such an advantage to use that in certain situations? We have a rock wool pro that's going to drop by and talk with us on that. And then, Joe, of course, you always have a great simple solution for us. What can we expect a little bit later in the hour?
All right, Dan, I'm going to give a tip on driving screw hooks. You know, those hooks that are great for organizing and hanging up stuff. Well, sometimes they can be a real pain to drive into the wood, especially if you have more than one or two to drive them in. So I have a quick tip on how to do that quickly and easily.
Well, any of us that had to put the hooks in for the hanging baskets, you got to hang those baskets every now and then for the flowers. So we'll be listening in for that. Joe, you know, I shared with you just the other week about great celebration of my Uncle Rex's 100th birthday.
Right.
Well, you know, after talking to him a little bit and everything, it all of a sudden came to me that here he was, you know, ran off to the Navy very, very young. Matter of fact, right now he's in St. Louis at a reunion of all of the people that served on this particular aircraft carrier.
Wow.
And he is the only one from World War II that was able to attend.
Right.
And so he arrived last night, and I was talking to my cousin, his daughter that got him there, said he was treated like a superstar.
People wanted
their pictures with him, and of course he's all smiling and hugging and kissing and everything else. So fantastic. But what it made me start thinking about is Veterans Day's coming up. So I'm getting together with Uncle Rex, actually, later today by phone and by a video conferencing. And we're going to do a little conversation that's going to be part of one of my Ask Danny podcasts.
Oh, great.
We've got a little bit of home improvement and very unique stories. When you think about someone 100 years old and you think about when he was 15 years old, helped his father, my grandfather, build their first house. Well, their only house they ever had that raised like seven children in this little bitty small house built partially out of wood pallets being thrown off of an old tugboat. So all kinds of stories like that and stories. So anyway, we thought because so much of the stories, the wonderful stories that he has, involves his time in the Navy, what a great podcast for Veterans Day. So we're going to be telling you more about that, and we're going to be releasing that on Veterans Day, a conversation where I sit down, you know, think about it. How many times have you really sat down and had a conversation with a 100-year-old person? Me, only once, Uncle Rex. So anyway, it'll be fun, and we'll touch on a few things, including talking about his 90-year-old handyman, John. I can't quite grasp that. Right?
He found a younger guy to help him out around the house. Yeah.
Exactly. So we have a lot of fun and a lot of great things to share with you as we move along here on Today's Homeowner. Hey, we want to hear from you. We make it very, very easy. One thing you can do is send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask, or you can pick up the phone and give us a call at 800-946-4420. We get a lot of calls on the hotline, so let's grab a few of those right now that came in this week.
I believe that the condensate drain from my air conditioner is fogged because my Nest thermostat is giving me that error message that it always gives if it's not working properly. Although the drain is dripping a little, I put the vacuum cleaner on it, made sure it's sealed, and I've stuck on that for over half an hour without getting anything out, including the 24 ounces of hot water that I poured down from the inside. And I just wondered if you had any additional ideas.
Wow. So he says that the 24 ounces of water he poured in, he couldn't get that to come out.
Couldn't get it out. So obviously, if there's at least a partial clog. Right?
Sure. Well, you think about, have to make sure that, understand there's generally properly installed system like that would actually have two drains, one coming directly from the inside of the unit and then one coming from the drain pan. And, you know, theoretically, there should be no liquid in that drain pan. And if it does get liquid in there, that means the other drain is clogged up. So that would be one of the first things that I would mention to the caller is that you want to make sure that you're working on the right drain. Both of them are important to stay completely clear. But boy, if you hook that vacuum cleaner, matter of fact, this is a fantastic simple solution that you could find out at todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions and check out cleaning AC drain line. And boy, Joe came up with a great one. And putting that shop vac on the outside, kind of taping it up or putting a towel around it and kicking that on. Now, he said 30 minutes, 30 seconds is a long time doing because it will really pull all of that out of there if you're doing it the right way. Any other thoughts for him, Joe?
Yeah, well, sometimes if the clog is further up on the line, like closer to the air handler unit in the attic, you know, maybe the power of the vacuum has diminished so much it's not helping. So if you can't do it from the outside at the bottom of the condensate line, you have to do it from the top inside. Mm-hmm. The house, and you can try blowing it out with the vacuum or sucking it out, I guess. If that fails, he's going to have to either buy or rent an AC line, drain line pump, and they do make them. The one that I've used that works unbelievably well, the professionals use it. I'm not really sure how much they are. They're relatively expensive, maybe $60, $70. It's a company called Rector Seal. That's R-E-C-T-O-R, Rector, and then Seal, S-E-A-L. You can find them online, and they sell them in stores. Anyway, it's basically a foot pump. Have you ever seen those foot pumps that you use to pump up air mattresses?
Yeah, sure.
It's
kind of like that. Increases the pressure in it a little bit. You can also use an air compressor. You don't want to put, got to be careful with that and put it through there, because a lot of times insects will get in there and build a sufficient nest that really clogs that up. That can cause you a tremendous amount of problems inside. A lot of times they also have the little fish tapes that they put through there to break away those things. But if you can't successfully do it, I'd certainly get that AC guy out there, because it's something that they've dealt with quite a bit. Let's grab one more call off of the Today's Homeowner Hotline.
I have two questions. I'm in a concrete house, a concrete built house with a crawl space underneath that has since been fixed, and it caused my cabinets in the kitchen to be musty, which has gone away, but with the most recent rain, seems to have come back. So I put in those things that absorb the moisture. But is there something I can do underneath? I was putting a fan in the opening to see if that would help. The other question is, in the crawl space is the old piping for the heating system. And should I try to take it out? It's wrapped in insulation and it seems to be sealed. I took some of it out. So should I just leave it there, not worry about it, or should I take it out?
Well, I've always been one that if there's something under the house, whether it's debris or whether it's an old fixture of some kind, all kinds of stuff can end up in a crawl space there when workmen just don't do their job to finish up and clean up. I like to get all of that stuff out of there.
Right, yeah.
And when that's done, first of all, it usually doesn't take very long at all. And, you know, you can, while you're there, you know, have plenty of light that you can look over everything. But laying that piece of plastic that we recommend strongly right on the ground so that it minimizes the amount of moisture that migrates up through into the house is a necessity. By doing that, you're certainly reducing the amount of musty smell, moisture getting in there. And I mean, there's all kinds of reasons for that, from insects to mold, mildew, excessive moisture, all kinds of issues that there. But I would definitely do that. And I think you'll see that smell will go away fairly soon, because a lot of times water will get trapped or moisture will get trapped under cabinetry, and there's no air circulation through there. So the more you seal that moisture off from coming up, and the more you use some, open those windows and doors this time of the year. You can open those windows and doors in the house quite a bit. and that will help things considerably. Hey, coming up, we're just getting started on this hour of today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to be talking about how to get those patios and those driveways on your concrete really clean without breaking the bank or the back. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Hey, each week, Joe and I like to put the spotlight on a certain station that carries our show. We're so proud of being on WNDB AM 1150 and 93.5 FM in beautiful Daytona Beach, Florida. Thanks so much for having us on the air there. And we want to help anyone that's listening there or anywhere in the country by taking care of any of your home improvement questions or challenges that you may be having as a homeowner. All you have to do is send us an email, todayshomeowner.com/ask, or you can pick up the phone and call us at 800-946-4420. Right now, we're going up to Wisconsin, where we have lots and lots of great listeners, including Barb. Barb, how are you today? And tell us what's going on around your house.
Well, the main question I have has to do with what is the best way to clean a concrete patio and sidewalk? I have two different causes. And the first one is on a back patio. We had this concrete patio installed 4 years ago in September, and it's under a canopy of large oak trees. Mm-hmm. And over the last few years, you know, the new patio has gone from white and gotten darker. And I don't know if it's because of the staining from the acorns and the trees, or possibly maybe mildew because of it not drying out after the rain. Mm-hmm. And so that's my first question. And then the second one has to do with the front sidewalk and driveway, which were installed 3 years ago. And there's a large maple tree that overhangs the top part of the sidewalk, kind of close to the stoop. And some mourning doves have set up a nest there this summer. So,
oh, boy.
Yeah. They make some drops, and I've tried to clean them at the sidewalk. It's kind of like a dark gray purple in color, and I just can't seem to get rid of them. So I'm wondering what kind of ideas you have for me that I could use to clean both of those.
Well, of course, most people, including us, would recommend a careful use of a pressure washer. But I'll tell you what a lot of people are finding out about is being able to, if you don't have a pressure washer, of course, you can rent it. And there's also many, many people that offer that service that can come by with a pretty strong pressure washer and get it nice and clean. But there's also this round attachment that's, probably 16 to 18 inches in diameter. And you hook it actually to a pressure washer, and it just concentrates the effort of that. And I'm telling you, it's amazing what that thing can do. It speeds up the process, it concentrates it, and you just move it along. Actually, probably maybe even a little safer than using a regular pressure washer, because you can cause a little damage to not only the concrete, but also, you know, your foot and your arms and your legs and that kind of thing if you get too close with it. A lot of times people just go about doing it improperly. First of all, I suggest misting just a little bit of water over the concrete, and then use a really good concrete concentrated cleaner. Mix it up properly as the instructions call for, and just saturate the whole area like with a pump-up sprayer. Just go ahead and spray it and let that detergent start loosening up the dirt, and keep it wet. Keep it wet with the detergent and let it sit there maybe 10, 15 minutes before you start the cleaning. That just speeds it up, makes it a lot easier to go with, and you're able to get all of those surfaces clean. But here's what you might want to do, Barb, to keep that from being an ongoing problem, is after you get it nice and clean, allow it to dry. That might have to be, you know, an overnight scenario to get it nice and dry. And you can, of course, if you happen to have any fans, that always speeds up the drying process quite a bit. Then you want to put a clear masonry sealer in place. You could get maybe two or three coats of that, but you can spray that on with a pump-up sprayer. Very, very amazing how that does. And what it does is it'll seal up the pores of the wood, of the concrete, so that water doesn't get down in there and the dirt stays in place. It'll help repel it without making it real slick. And I've made this sound like it's a long, drawn-out process, but it really is pretty simple in those two steps.
Okay. Is there a concrete cleaner that you would recommend, a specific one?
Well, I'll tell you, I've used different Zep products quite a bit. They're available at Home Depot, and you'll find one there that's a concentrated cleaner. And, you know, they'll tell you how much to put in there, you know, as far as that. I usually kind of maybe a little bit more, not, you know, three times as much, but I might double some of the suggestions they have just to make it a little bit easier.
Okay. Would you ever recommend putting a mixture of bleach and water on it?
I don't really recommend bleach at all. If you do use a bleach, I would use an oxygen bleach, which is a lot that's just as effective, but it just doesn't have that chlorine content on it.
Okay.
Well, good, Barb. Well, best of luck on that. I know you a little bit of work, but a perfect time of the year while it's, cooling down a little bit to tackle a project like that. And I wish you the best. If you run into anything, just let us know.
Thank you so much for your help. I really look forward to having a nice clean area, both in the back and the front.
Good, good, good. Well, best of luck on it, and have a great weekend.
All right. Great talking with you.
Joe, you know, it's funny about how many projects we talk about where people need to, if they do, seal the concrete, you know, right. And I understand why a lot of people don't, because, you know, when you get a brand new slab and you got it nice and clean and ready, they don't recommend you seal it at that point. They recommend not 30 days. They always say the same thing, 28 days to allow it to cure properly and so forth. And but boy, if everybody did that with their sidewalks and driveways when they're fairly new, boy, they'll end up looking a lot better for a lot longer.
Yeah, and leaves, especially oak leaves, have so much tannin in them that if you leave them and they decompose, they're going to leave not only a little spot, but you actually see silhouettes of the leaves. So the first thing she has to do is wash them off. Don't let them sit there when they're wet, and clean it as well as you can before it starts snowing, because then it'll be hard to get to them. You don't want them sitting under a blanket of snow all winter long, decomposing and staining that concrete.
Hey, let's go back to our emails here. This is Mara in New Hampshire. Hi, Danny. We love the show and listen every Saturday on WKBK 104.1 FM out of Keene, New Hampshire. Hope you can help us with this rather unusual problem. Oh, boy, listen to this, Joe. My dog found a hand warmer packet in my closet and ripped it open. The black powder inside got all over our hardwood floor, which is now stained. We have washed and scrubbed the area, but the stain is still visible. What would you recommend using to clean the floor? By the way, the dog ran off and we never found him. No, I was kidding about that part. I was kidding about that. By the way, the dog is fine. So but boy, that, you know, I actually never knew what was inside those mysterious hand warmers. I guess it's some kind of black powder, but it getting down into the pores of a wood. First of all, the hardwood floor should have a finish on it that wouldn't allow it to absorb like that, but apparently the fine powder is like graphite. When you use graphite which is the best thing you can use on your locks and deadbolt locks, you got to be careful with that because that has that extremely fine powder. What do you recommend to Tamara?
Yeah, a lot of people think their floors are protected by a top coat until something like this happens. They realize, oh wait, maybe there is no protection. Well, I'm not sure exactly like what's inside there, these hand warmer packets. But I know for other staining on wood floors, we've had great success with just hydrogen peroxide. Soak a rag in hydrogen peroxide, set it over this stain and let it sit for a couple hours and take it off and see if it's lightened it or removed it entirely, then great. If it's lightened it, then re-soak the rag and leave it overnight. Let it dry. And then if you need to sand lightly, I would sand lightly, then, you know, put some stain and or polyurethane over the top of it, because obviously you want to seal that wood up.
Yeah, that's a shame. You don't want to get that. That's why I always tell people about, you know, when you're working in a home, even if you're only doing something that's just going to generate a little bit of sawdust, go ahead and use a nice clean drop cloth, because, you know, you might drop a screwdriver, and with a drop cloth it reduces the chance of damaging that floor. And plus, if you get any kind of sawdust or anything on a floor of any kind, and then you're walking over it or you're grinding your foot into it while you're doing the work, it just is not the way to do professional work. So, boy, how hard is it to throw a drop cloth down there? And I think an overuse of drop cloth is perfectly fine. You want a good quality drop cloth. You want one that's not going to, you know, make you slip and fall and everything. But that's a sign of a good workman when you have that. And when you're doing some of the work yourself, you'll be glad that you put it down, because why spend so much of your time cleaning up behind yourself when you can go right. ahead and have everything just like it is? Hey, coming up here on Today's Homeowner, we're going to be talking about some of the Trex decking, some of the composite decking. Later on, we're going to check in with a pro from the Rockwool Company to talk about mineral wool and some of the advantages that you have there. And then a little bit later on, Joe has another simple solution for us. All of that and a whole lot more as we move along on this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Hey, have you had a chance to drop by the Today's Homeowner Facebook page lately? A lot going on there. We have information being pushed out all the time on all kinds of things we're doing behind the scenes at the Today's Homeowner radio and TV shows, as well as a lot of the appearances I make outside the show, including a recent appearance on the Weather Channel, a couple of those actually, and also Newsy. We did a few segments with the Newsy organization and, of course, Fox Business Channel. And Fox Weather Channel. So we're trying to help everybody get prepared for any hurricane situations they have and just general storm repair. But a lot happening there, so drop by and join us on the Facebook page, the Today's Homeowner Facebook page, and also Danny Lipford official Facebook page. We'd love to have you on board there. Hey, let's go back to the hotline. We have a few more calls. I'm going to try to catch up on as many of them as we can.
I have a question on Trex decking. We put in a deck probably about 16 feet by 20 feet and think it was about 18 years ago. The original paperwork is so faded we can't even tell. The deck is blistered up. Something is not right. I know when it gets really hot, it gets soft and saggy. That's pretty normal. But it shouldn't be blistering and peeling. And I don't know if you have any suggestions on what I can do with this deck. I don't know if it needs to be sealed or not. Just don't know.
Boy, I hear some frustration in that voice there.
That's an odd question. Yeah,
it is very odd because, you know, the composite decking is one that is designed not to peel or, warp or anything else. It's something that's indicative of wood. Joe, any idea here? Is this maybe a faulty bunch, a faulty batch, or is there something else that might be going on to cause that to blister?
Yeah, I mean, if it was a faulty, would the entire deck be from a faulty batch? I'm not sure. I've never heard of this problem. And she calls it Trex decking, which is a premium grade and always has been. So it might not actually be Trex. A lot of people say Trex, kind of like the way you use Kleenex as a generic term.
That's true.
Or Band-Aid, mm-hmm. right? So it might be a lower grade composite decking. And since this is 18 years old, I'm sure it's just one of the original composite decks. It's not a capstock deck, which is what most of them are today, which is a composite decking with a hard, almost like plastic shell that goes around it, which would be much, much less likely to be blistering or peeling. So I'm not sure what to tell her. If it is indeed a Trex deck, the only thing I could tell her is that if you could send photos of it, I would take photos of it and send it to Trex. You can email them. I've done this with other questions mm-hmm. and other callers. I think it's customercare@trex.com. And tell them exactly what the problem is. Send them photographs of the end of the deck, if you can see the end of the deck boards, the top deck, because they'll be able to look at it and tell you whether it's an actual Trex deck or not. If it is, hopefully they'll have a solution.
Wow. Boy, very unusual situation. Never heard of anything like
that. Yeah, me
either. But we'll keep following up on you, see if we can get any other information, and we'll be in contact with the composite dealer and see just exactly what's happening on that. We have another hotline caller right now.
Hi. I was wondering what kind of solution you use to clean the cupboards to be refinished on your couple weeks ago program. I was wondering what kind of solution it was.
Okay, we certainly can share with you that. There's several things there. Now, first of all, before you do any type of repainting or refinishing on cabinets, you do need to degrease them. You might be surprised about how clean you keep your kitchen. Grease is everywhere, especially in and around your range top area. Well, Joe, why don't you share that simple solution that a lot of people have used? Boy, did we ever get a lot of comments on that. I've used the very same thing. A lot of people surprised that you're doing cleaning by using your microwave. Tell us about it.
Yeah, what Danny's referring to is heating up a sponge in the microwave. dampening it with a solution, a degreasing solution. And a degreaser could be something as simple as Dawn, or there's a product called Simple Green that makes a degreaser. The idea is you make a solution, you dip your sponge in it, and you microwave it. Now, you don't get it so hot you can't handle it, and you should be wearing rubber gloves anyway, but just warm it up. And that's what really cuts through the grease. Imagine it's grease or oil, right? If it's a hot or warm solution, it's going to cut through it. Mm-hmm. And so you have, that's the best way. By the way, this would be a scouring sponge, a sponge that has like the Scotch-Brite green pad on it. Scrub it. You keep warming up the sponge until you get all that grease off, then sand lightly, and then stain or paint or whatever. She didn't say exactly what, but Danny's right. If you don't degrease these first, I don't care how much money you spend for paint or stain, it's never going to adhere to a greasy or sticky cabinet.
There you go. And both of those callers came in through our hotline. We'd encourage you to do that anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 800-946-4420. Let's grab another email here from Kevin in Bath, Maine. Beautiful area up there. I heard you mention the importance of insulating the attic floor. So I peeked into our attic and found that there's only about 8 inches of fiberglass between the ceiling joists. I want to add at least another 8 inches, but must I stay with fiberglass bats or can I use mineral wool or blown in cellulose? Not sure if you can mix and match insulation types. Yes,
that's
you absolutely.
That's a great question.
It is a very good question.
We get all the time. Yeah.
And
we get that all
matter
the time.
Of fact, we have our rock wool expert coming up in just a little bit that we'll be talking about this a little bit. But Kevin, you're very smart to think about adding more insulation to your attic, because as we often say, that's some of the best money you can spend on your home in terms of the return on that home improvement dollar. And the only time that, yes, you can mix and match, and I would recommend using mineral wool because it's so easy to install, very do-it-yourself friendly, very effective, mold and mildew resistant, very good for insulation quality, as well as soundproofing qualities. And you can put bats right on top of your existing insulation and go perpendicular to your ceiling joist. Now, the only time I don't recommend doing something like that is if you're going to compress any of the existing insulation. When insulation is blown in, you want it to be as fluffy as can be and remain that way. But if it's down where it's your ceiling joist, then you can add the mineral wool perpendicular, cut it all in place, and you can do a little at a time or do your whole entire attic. But I guarantee you, as soon as you put that insulation in there, you'll start saving money 365 days a year. It makes one big difference. Joe, we continue to bang the insulation drum.
That's
but I don't
right.
care what time of the year it is or where you live. You really need that 14 or 15 inches of insulation in your attic.
Yeah, whether you live in the Sun Belt or up in Maine where Kevin is. Yeah, the only thing you have to be careful of when you're putting in any insulation, if you have soffit vents, don't stuff the insulation over the soffit. Don't stuff it in too tightly because you'll block the flow of air that's going up to either gable end vents, or ridge vents. So you just want to be careful of that.
Absolutely. Very important that you don't do exactly what Joe said there. Keep that flow of air coming in your soffit or overhang areas and exhausting out, whether it's a ridge vent or a power roof vent, whatever you may have. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. When we come back, we're going to be talking about insulation and knocking down some of those myths that are out there. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here. And you know what we try to do here at Today's Homeowners? Really listen carefully to a lot of the questions and concerns you have about your home. And boy, do we get a lot of questions about insulation. So I thought it'd be a good idea to talk to my friend Dan Edelman with Rockwool's National Business Development Manager. We've talked about Rockwool quite a bit here on the show. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Danny. It's a pleasure to be on once again.
Well, it's fun talking about something like insulation. You know, maybe that's not the sexiest home improvement project you can do, but boy, it has been proven to be one of the best return on your home improvement dollar. But sometimes I have to kind of stop and explain a little bit of exactly what is Rockwool. Been around a long time, but why don't you explain it? And I know that's something that you've had to do yourself many times, but what exactly is Rockwool? How's it made and where does it come from?
Yeah, so quite simply, Danny, Rockwool is made out of basalt, the entire Earth's crust. So it's the most abundant resource in the world. And then we also use the byproduct of the steel industry, recycled steel slag. So there's a recycled component to it as well. Now, historically, Rockwell actually was first founded in Hawaii when the volcanoes would erupt, and then the high winds would go carry across the lava and whip into fibers, where the natives used to call that harapele, and they used to use it as a building material on their huts. Now, some of the properties why they used it was, first, it's naturally fire resistant. So we don't add any kind of fire retardants or anything to the product, but it's a naturally fire-resistant insulation. The next big component of it is moisture. So it's going to shed water like a duck's back, and it's going to be mold and mildew resistant as well. And it still is a vapor open product, meaning that it's able to dry in all directions.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons that we recommend it so much for like crawl space areas. There's so many people that are challenged with wet crawl spaces and so forth. So we try to, you know, encourage people to put the plastic down and then put the Rockwool, you know, between their floor joist and put the little tie lines, tie wires up in there to keep it. Boy, that kind of really is a way to complete that whole envelope approach to insulation.
For sure, yeah. And we're relying, so we are the thermal control layer in these applications. We still do rely on an air barrier, which it's going to be best to actually have these as separate control layers in the building envelope. It's also, again, there's differences between air barriers and vapor barriers that we could get into a little later. But the big part of everything is really just it's not going to absorb the water. So especially in a crawl space application, when you're putting it up between the floor joists, you're not going to have to worry about the moisture from the crawl space getting absorbed into the rock wall and actually falling down over time. So once you put this up, it's pretty much like added insurance for your crawl space. So nobody likes going in your crawl space anyway. So this is just going to help reduce the need to go into your crawl space.
Well, I tell you, I have installed hundreds and hundreds of packages of Rockwool, also in the attic. Very easy to add that extra layer of unfaced Rockwool to the attic to get that up to standard. And what we wanted to do, and Dan and the great crew at Rockwool is helping us pull this off. We're going to launch next week. Insulation Week. So we're going to really drill down on a lot of other details. We're also launching a special part of our website, and you'll be able to go to todayshomeowner.com/insulation to find out all kinds of details. There's a lot of myths and misunderstandings about insulation. We're going to chop all those down and really give you some good, straightforward information. And again, you'll be able to go to todayshomeowner.com/insulation. Also, a special Today's Homeowner podcast where we really concentrate on all of the details on this, just so that we get you the information that you've grown to expect from us here at Today's Homeowner. Dan Edelman, we appreciate you being with us, and we'll have to do this again.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on, Danny.
The other thing I love about Rockwool, Danny, we often get questions from homeowners and listeners about which way does the paper facing on the insulation, should I put it up? Should I put it down? With Rockwool, that's not a concern. There's no way to install it incorrectly in that regard because there is no paper facing. It does not require one. Just set it down in place. That's another thing I really like about working with Rockwool.
It's awfully nice, too, that it's a little more friendly than some of the other insulations that are out there that, you know, they do recommend that you use, you know, eye protection and respirator and gloves. But it's still, it's not as intense as some of the other insulations out there. And, you know, we got a question earlier about, can I mix and match insulation? Absolutely. Right. As long as it's not compressing that blown-in insulation, you can go right over it. It certainly helps quite a bit.
And coming up is a simple solution on how to drive screw hooks.
All right. Everybody has to hang those baskets every now and then and use it for a lot of other reasons for organization. I'm looking forward to that tip. That simple solution's coming up.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Okay, Joe, I'm going to just kind of scoot my chair back a little,
okay.
put my little feet up on my little desk here and listen to these wonderful words of wisdom that you always share with us during this time of the show. We call it The Simple Solution. What do you have, Joe?
Okay, Dan, I'll wake you up in about 60 seconds. I'm about to profess my love for screw hooks. I've used screw hooks all the time. There's probably been 10 simple solutions on using screw hooks to organize tools and materials. And so the problem sometimes is, how do you put in these screw hooks quickly and easily? And I'm not talking about little cup hooks, but the larger screw hooks. Drill a pile hole. You always drill a pile hole slightly smaller in diameter than the screw tip of the hook itself. That helps quite a bit. And then what you want to do is twist in the screw hook by hand, just a couple of turns just to get it started. And then, and here's the real simple solution, get a screw eye. And a screw eye is a type that has machine threads on it that accept the nut in a washer, not the wood threads. It has the machine threads. And you take the screw eye, put it in a drill, tighten up the chuck. What you do is you just take the eye and slip it over the hook, put the drill in forward speed, and slowly squeeze the trigger. You don't want it spinning too fast. It's because the eye is over the hook, it'll drive that screw hook up and as far as you need to go. And usually it doesn't line up exactly where you want it. So then you can use a screwdriver to slip it in the hook and to twist it, you know, the quarter turn or whatever you need to align
sure.
the hook. And so if you have more than one or two screw hooks to put in, I highly recommend this process. It's a lot quicker and easier.
Boy, I'll tell you, in trying to get that pilot hole in there and then using a screwdriver to go around and around, it seems to, you know, it can wobble it a little bit and make it, you know, less strong as it should be. You know, your method there, you're going to have a lot more control to get it right in place. And you're right. If you're out in your garage and you're thinking about, I wish I could, you know, get more use out of my garage, just get that stuff up off the floor as much as you can. And a lot of times the eye hooks are the perfect way of doing it. Find that ceiling joist that you can drill right through. And I mean, heck, you can put one over here and one over here and put something between it in order to hang a lot of those things. It's so much easier and so much better if you can get the stuff off your garage floor or workshop floor.
Well, I've also shot a simple solution of not only this tip of screwing it in the hook with a screw eye, but I had a simple solution on how to, I have almost all my portable power tools, sanders, drills, saws, hanging from screw hooks in our basement, hanging from the joist, as you said, is put in a hook, like every 16 inches or 14 inches, whatever, and just hook the, and they're right there. They're up off the floor. They're out of the way. And you just pull them off the hook when you need them and put them back. I always know where they are instead of putting them down somewhere and searching for them. So, yeah, I mean, once you start using, and these, by the way, you can get them. I use the vinyl coated ones, you know, so we can slip stuff on it and not going to scratch anything up. And
I can hear the announcement now when Joe's coming in Home Depot and assistance needed on the screw hook aisle. Joe Truini.
Hurry, Joe's in the store. If you need screw hooks, buy them now before he gets it to aisle 12.
Yeah. Hey, I want to remind you what you can see on the Today's Homeowner television show this weekend. We call it our Front Porch Rehab. Very popular show. This one, Front Porch Rehab, we touch on stenciling a concrete front porch, which, boy, we got so many emails. People loved it. Stenciling's happening all over the country. Check it out on exactly how you can make your front porch or back porch look a lot different. Shutter repair, boy, if you got wooden shutters, you're going to be prone to having a little water damage. You don't have to replace them all. We've got a way that you can repair that, make it look good as new in no time at all. Also, a little bit of subtle landscaping can make a big difference as well. All of that and more on our Today's Homeowner television episode this weekend. Go to todayshomeowner.com to find out where you can see it in your area. Well, that'll pretty much wrap up the show for this week. We certainly appreciate you spending some of your busy weekend with Joe and I. I also do appreciate my buddy Joe Truini and our engineer producer Corey Wilson, and from the whole Today's Homeowner family, we wish you a great weekend and look forward to seeing you again next week here on Today's Homeowner Radio.